Hi, my name is Debbie. Welcome to the Six Figure Shift Show. This is titled Simple Offline Strategies for Brick and Mortar Growth. In this episode, we sit down with marketing strategist Mark Newsome, also known as Mr. Marketing, to uncover surprisingly simple low-tech strategies that help brick and mortar businesses boost revenue by 25% or more. Mark shares practical, cost-effective techniques business owners can use immediately to find hidden profit centers, create long-term repeat customers, and grow without depending on complex tools. As always, Debbie subtly waves in expert coaching insights to reveal untapped opportunities for growth. If you're a small business owner looking to shift into six-figure success using smart, straightforward marketing tactics, this conversation is a must listen. Now, Mark gave me five topics. Small business owners and service providers have to stop treating their businesses like glorified one-night stands. So what is your response to that?
Thank you for allowing me to be a guest. But think of it this way, ladies and gentlemen. You see this happen way too much. I was guilty of it myself at one time, so I'm not above the fray. If you don't realize it, Debbie will share with you and I will share with you. It's typically now, if you're using traditional marketing strategies, whether you're marketing on or offline, by the way, let me make that crystal clear. Whatever your term is, it's typically going to cost you 500% more in upfront costs to generate a first-time customer. Debbie, we've all heard this, correct? Here's what I'm saying to you. You spend all that effort, all that time, all that money, all the resources, all the assets, you get a customer. And what do? You drop them like it's hot and run off and chase the next retail customer. That's treating your business and service like a glorified one-night stand. Well, you say, well, what's the answer, Mark? You drill down. In other words, once I get Debbie to trust me enough to purchase from me, now I try to get her to repurchase. I try to get her to refer. I try to get her to come back more often. You're drilling down. This way here, when she refers somebody, I'm leveraging her trust factor to her inner circle, be it professional or personal. If she says, hey, have you seen this movie? Or have you read this book? Or have you listened to this podcast? Or have you whatever? You and I are 500 to 1,000% more likely to take it seriously. Well, that's what you need to be doing with your customers. Your current customers have a tribe, an inner circle, personal and professional. When they say thumbs up, people listen. And when they say thumbs down, people listen. So don't just get a customer and drop them and immediately run after the next retail customer. This is a huge mistake. And for a small business or a small service provider, especially if you're just starting out. And when I say just starting out, Debbie, I'm not talking about your first 3 months. I'm saying maybe you're 18 months into the journey. This is costing you way too much money. I like to say it like this, Debbie. It's almost like you're heating your house with $20 bills and you got the window open. You're going to go broke really fast. So drill down into those customers. You call it total lifetime customer value. That's a term, ladies and gentlemen. After this show is over, I want you to go to Google and YouTube and say, what is lifetime customer value? Watch a couple of videos, 3 or 4 minute videos. You have the concept down and then you start applying it.
Very good. Thank you. But what I'm hearing is this requires a certain type of mindset. So if I'm just running to the next customer and I'm not focusing on what I need to do for myself and what I need to do for my employees, because I help my employees and my employees help me. It's a two-way street, whether it's making goals or worrying about myself or being selfish, only caring about myself. And that's not a win-win. That's going to be a lose-lose. That's something that's very good and very important. And I think every salesperson should try to really understand that if they can. Because I want to have a win-win, because I want to make money. The company makes money and then everybody makes money. And to me, that's the bottom line, is that I'm in business because I want to make money. And if I'm not, then my business is not going to survive and it's going to go underwater quickly. Let's discuss not being victimized for using social media. What do you think about that? What's your reason?
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. Debbie, you're on social media, correct? I'm on social media. You should be rocking social media. But ladies and gentlemen, I kind of partly blame the guru and guruettes out there who are trying to make being online and being successful online sound like a snap and a piece of cake. So they'll say stuff like, you don't need a website. Now, while technically that's true, here is the caveat, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever forget this. Unless your last name is Zuckerberg, you and I don't own these social media platforms. I like to say it like this, Debbie. We're glorified tenants, and they're the landlords. It's like sleeping on your in-law's couch. You never know when they're going to come home and say, Debbie, I love you, but you got to go. Now, when that happens, where is that going to leave you? Homeless. So if you're online, it's great to be on social media. But ladies and gentlemen, you need your own, I like to say spot, Debbie, for lack of technical term. I have a self-hosted blog. So that means people can find me online and I don't have to worry about whether or not I inadvertently broke some rule. That happened to me on a social media platform, ladies and gentlemen. Long before I had my self-hosted blog, I was humming along, creating content on this one particular platform. And lo and behold, one of my coaches tried to warn me. She said, Mark, you need to have your own self-hosted blog. I didn't want to learn WordPress, Debbie, so I fought it. And I said, and one day I logged in and it was a notice that said, your account has been shut down because of violation of one of the terms and policies. Debbie, they never defined it. They never said what I did. They just said, this is our platform, pal. You broke the rule. You're out. About 4 months later, they reinstated the account. I've never posted any content to there since. But the point I'm trying to make to you, ladies and gentlemen, you need your own opt-in email list and you need to not. What you try to leverage social media to do is to get people off those platforms onto your own opt-in email list. If anybody's told you email's dead, ladies and gentlemen, run in the opposite direction, because that's nonsense. You need your own email list and you need your own website, whether it's an e-commerce site or in my case, a self-hosted blog. Don't get the free platforms for WordPress. They're both free. Pardon me. I don't want to confuse people. You have .com, .org. I have a self-hosted WordPress.com site. If you get .org, bottom line, don't get the one that WordPress, it says marknewsom.wordpress. Don't do that. Get your own self-hosted blog, which means you're going to need a domain name, registered domain name, and then you and I stay in control. Ladies and gentlemen, you see all these people on these TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram, X, they could wake up tomorrow and their 500,000 followers on this platform or that platform, gone. I guarantee you in the time we're doing this podcast together somewhere in the world, somebody's had their account shut down for the first, second, or third and final time. Guaranteed. So you and I have to remain in control. And the way you're going to do that, get your own opt-in email list of subscribers and stay away from the free email providers. And what I mean by that, it's okay if they offer a free trial, but you want to end up paying for your account so you stay in control.
That was good. Thank you. So I want to be able to know my ways of advertising and understand it 100% and be able to protect myself. I know, hopefully, that nothing can really happen because everything that I've done, all the work I've done with websites, social media, that can all go out the window. And I don't want to see that happen. I could lose my business that way. And that's another thing that requires a mindset, because to me, that requires research. If I want to do it myself, not even if I want to pay somebody to do it, I really want to be able to understand what they're doing. And also one day they might like hand off the platform to me and say, you could finish it or help me with it or something like that. These are all extra things that I want to do. I don't want to depend on somebody else as leave it up to somebody else to run my company. That just requires laziness. And then a lot of times that'll turn into greed, because then I just want more and more and people to do things for me. So then I'm not doing anything, but I'm making money and I'm making money off these people. So then I just want to make more money and then it turns into greed. So there's a lot of situations here. Thank you for that.
Hey, let me say one other thing, because you touched on something really important. I want you to think about this. There are a lot of people. I've noticed this on LinkedIn. It could be on the other platforms too, because I'm primarily on LinkedIn. I have an X account, but I'm not as active. LinkedIn is where I'm at. But I wanted to say, I said that to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the content you and I post on social media, if they shut your account down temporarily or permanently, That stuff is gone. Do you understand that? What you mentioned about all the hard work. It's almost like you work for a company 20 years. They fire you. You get no severance pay. You get nothing. They just shove you out the door. There are a lot of people. I've noticed this with the millennials. They're only rocking social media. I've asked several of them that I've gotten to know on LinkedIn, do you have your own website? And they say no. And I ask, why not? And they say, I don't need it. And I don't go any further, Debbie. I just think, well, that's what you think. They are convinced their accounts aren't going to get shut down. Why they believe this, I don't know. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative. If you want to stay in control and be in business, then you got to do the things that business people and entrepreneurs do. And one of the things they do not do is set themselves up so they're out of control. And if all you're doing is social media, you don't have control. You are playing musical chairs, and sooner or later, the music's going to stop, and you're going to be caught without a home.
Yeah, it's called the social media addiction. How to systematically generate 25 to 40% more gross profits without constantly having to add outrageously expensive for first-time customers. What's your response to that?
Now this, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to laugh when you hear this one because we're all familiar with this. First of all, as you all know, or if you don't know, you're going to find out that first-time customer, because there's no trust factor. They don't know you and I. You're glorified strangers. It's like, have you ever heard the old saying, trying to get people to buy online the first time they come to your website or first time they hear you on a podcast? Well, that's like going to a social event, meeting a complete stranger, and within 30 minutes proposing marriage. Now, you hear that and you say, that's ridiculous. That's exactly what, it's the same concept of you and I trying to sell somebody right out of the gate. You drive traffic to a sales page. They don't know you. They don't trust you. They don't know anything about you other than the fact you're asking them for money. Think about that. So I said that to say this. Who has not experienced this, Debbie? You drive through or walk into an iconic fast food restaurant. And you say, can I have a quarter pounder with cheese and strawberry shake? And they automatically come back with and say, would you like fries with that? That simple six-word phrase just added an additional 10 to 40% in gross profits. Because remember, every day all over the world, somebody either walks in or drives through this iconic fast food restaurant who will remain nameless, but they all do it. It's called an upsell. Some people call it an add-on sale. Here's the point. When they say, would you like fries with that? 10 to 40% of the people who come through the establishment say yes. Now, notice what happened. They just sold you and I another product at retail price, mind you. They didn't have to go back on television. They didn't have to do radio. They didn't have to do billboards. They didn't have to do in newspaper. You and I were right there, and they just made a logical offer. Amazon does this all the time. For those who shop on Amazon, you buy something, they say, hey, if you like that, you might like this also. That's called an add-on sale. Now, before anybody says, sends you a note in the chat or later on, Debbie said, but I don't sell hamburgers and shakes. You don't have to. You need to find a relevant product or service. If I say to you peanut butter, how many people you think would say jelly as a response? So if you buy peanut butter, you're probably going to get jelly. If you buy jelly, you're probably going to get peanut butter. So the point is, don't let them go somewhere else to get the other product. You'll sell it to them. If you don't have any additional products and services, now you're getting into something a little more sophisticated, but not difficult. We call it joint venturing, collaborating, kind of what Debbie and I are doing. Like, for instance, I don't have a podcast audience. She does. So I try to figure out a way to get on shows like hers so I can get in front of her audience. That's called leverage, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, let's say Debbie and I are sitting across. Debbie, do you have a favorite place where you like to go get a mocha or a cappuccino or any of that stuff? Let's say she and I are sitting in Starbucks chopping it up, and she says, what, Mark? I really like some of your ideas and strategies. I'd love it if you came on my podcast and shared it with my audience. And I go, really? Wow, I'd love to. Do you see how I've gone from one to one to one to many? The same amount of time, the same effort, 10 times the results in terms of exposure. That's called leverage. When you say, would you like fries with that or whatever the offer is? And you got it, ladies and gentlemen, here's another word that you don't hear a lot, but you better start implementing it, testing. Now, us fancy consultants, Debbie, we call it A-B split testing. You offer this, you offer that, and you gauge and you don't tell your audience. You ask them. And they will tell you, do they prefer the pimento peas or the Irish cranberry sauce? Then you'll know. And if you don't have these things, you collaborate with people who have them. It's called the back end. So in other words, I might have not have the product. Debbie has it. So she suggests, hey, Mark, I'll let you give this low-end, front-end product of mine or service away to your customers as an additional bonus, and it exposes her to new people rather than her going out there running ads. This is a powerful strategy that's right in front of your face. If people are coming into your business or going online on your business, if they're coming to your website buying, you should have something called an order bump. Order bump basically means when they get to that checkout page, there's a little arrow kind of going like this. We've all seen them. And they're saying, hey, I got a little paragraph, get this extra little thingy. And it's normally a discounted price. You should have either order bump on the page, or if you're doing it physically, you have, and pardon me, that's my legs making this thing shake, Debbie. But the point is, you should have an additional offer. And let me just say one other thing, because this right here, ladies and gentlemen, is a multi-billion dollar opportunity. If you or any of what we call your vendors, suppliers, do mail order, you need to have your market-tested, extremely time-sensitive offer. I call it a profit booster, inside their outgoing mail. So when their customer opens it up, they get what they ordered, and then there's an extremely time-sensitive offer from you via them. So you're writing endorsement as well. And they say, this is normally $89, but I can get it for $69 or $59, but I got to do it by this date. Just like, would you like fries with that? That fast food restaurant doesn't get everybody. But you know what? They get enough that the executives, their kids go to the best colleges on the planet. They drive the best cars and they live in the biggest houses. Would you like fries with that? And one other thing, Debbie. This iconic fast food restaurant that came up with this concept of, would you like fries with that? And I'm not saying they invented it. I'm saying they have perfected it. They didn't sit on their laurels. They found a way to make an additional 30 to 60% profit. How? When you and I say yes to, would you like fries with that? And by the way, when I say, would you like fries with that? They might say, would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like something else with it? When they say, would you like fries with that? And we say yes, they come back with two simple words, Debbie. They say, supersize you. And look what just happened. Bam. And again, they're not discounting their price. They're getting retail on the French fries or whatever you and I buy, and on the supersize. One product led to two additional sales times X amount of customers per day around the world. Do the math, ladies and gentlemen. There, I'm off my soapbox, Debbie.
That was good. I used to manage stores, and that was exactly what we did. That made the company a lot of money, but we worked on commission. So that is a lot of extra money, too.
Exactly. You know,
really a win-win. I always like to say that you're a born salesperson, which means that people that are in sales, really good at sales, are born with liking to talk a lot, used to get used to talking to strangers, all of the key things that a salesperson does, being an extrovert, something that introverts do not do. So that some of those qualities you're born with, some you can learn, but a really good salesperson, a lot of times are born with those qualities. Whatever industry you're in, it could be retail, or a company, executive position, services, anything. There's always something. There's always an additional product or an additional service or something that I can offer. Why? Because company does not sell just one thing. It's very rare. They sell more than one thing, even if it's just a little thing, like a warranty or like an extra service, a small extra service like that. But again, this comes down to, am I going to be dedicated enough to the company and even to myself to go out of my way to offer these things to my customers, which is takes a second to do, but am I really going to do that? And that's what I want to ask myself. And if the answer is no, then to me, I wouldn't waste my time on the job. I wouldn't waste my time doing that because that's just going to be completely a waste of time. If I say no, then maybe I could do something to try to say yes, help myself in some way, motivate myself in some way, educate myself. But if I'm really going to say no and I really don't want to me, it's just not worth it. I might want to get a job where I'm just answering the phone or something. That's all I'm doing. This is some qualities you might not be able to control, but there are a lot of things there that just by changing your behavior and your mindset can really make a difference. And it could be a matter of survival at that point. Next topic is how to consistently generate first-time customers for literally pennies on the dollar without having to spend a nickel on outrageously expensive traditional and ad campaigns.
In a sense, now, this may sound like a contradiction because the last one said, hey, you don't need to do that. Now we're saying, hey, how do you get first-time customers without going in a hole? I'm going to kind of go around Robin here, Debbie, but we're going to bring it home. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to follow this. Let's suppose Debbie runs a retail appliance store. No, she's a jeweler. She sells some of the best looking bling in town. Everybody knows, but they think she's a little bit on the high side. She's kind of got an upscale thing going on with her clientele. First thing, she should come on her podcast rocking a $5,000 necklace and some $650 earrings, which, by the way, retail actually hard cost her half. But she sells them at full retail. So when she's on camera, the women, I'm telling you, the women are checking her out and she's going to get some DMs saying, "Ooh, I love your earrings. I love your necklace, blah, blah, blah." So here's what Debbie does. And this is what you should do if you're a retailer, even a service provider. Every month, Debbie holds a free drawing. So when you walk into her store, she's got this cutout of this beautiful $5,000 necklace and these $650 diamond studded earrings. In other words, she wants to attract her audience to jump on her list. Why does she want to do that? Several reasons, but here's the most important reason. First, she's going to leverage her in-store traffic. She's also going to leverage her vendors and her suppliers. If her suppliers are women, she's going to offer them some bling at cost. Like she might say, you can get a $2,000 necklace for 50% of the retail price or my hard cost, but you got to do two things. And they're like, they're all ears. What? She says, you join my list, my opt-in email list, and B, when you come to pick up your bling, you drag a friend with you who's at least 18. Now they say, Debbie, I was always taught in sales, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing. They say everybody in the network marketing industry is notorious for this. Everybody knows at least 25 people, locals. Well, she's got the vendor and now the vendor's friend. Theoretically, that's 50 people. Debbie knows on average 30%, 3 out of every 10 of those are going to become customers either of hers or her competitors within the next 90 days or less. That's why she ethically bribes them to drag a friend. Now, when she does her free drawing, here's what she does. She has two, get it, follow this, ladies and gentlemen. Most have one grand prize winner. No, not Debbie, because Debbie's a really smart, sophisticated marketer. She has two guaranteed first prize grand winners every month, one male, one female. The gentleman can win a $5,000 Rolex watch. Now, here's the point. Let's say she's been doing this for 3 years. Her local list, her opt-in email list, after 4% unsubscribed for whatever reason, or X percent, doesn't matter. She's still got 36,732 people on her opt-in email list. I'm just making these numbers up, ladies and gentlemen, for example purposes. Now, here's my point. She doesn't need to go on outrageously expensive primetime radio and primetime TV, does she? No. She sends a series of extremely time-sensitive email messages, and she says, hey, we're about to put up 0.25% of our inventory on closeout, meaning it's going away and we got to make room for the new stuff. In order to really show how much we appreciate you, A, being on our list, and B, being a valued customer, and C, giving us testimonials, and B, referring us new business. If you'll come into the store with a friend who's at least 18, you get X percent off. Come by yourself. Like, say she says, you get 30% off. No, 40% off. Up to $3,000 or X. Come along, 10% up to $200. Now, if you're serious about saving some money on some bling, Debbie, you know they're going to take that second option. drag a friend. They're going to text, call, girl, you're coming with me. I'm going to tell my boy, hey, man, I'm going over here to check out this lady's bling. She's having a closeout sale. She says, just for dragging a friend who's 18, I can save even more. Come on, we're going. So here's the point. This is what I want you to think about. When they drag a friend, that's the same as the fast food restaurant saying, would you like fries with that? She's ethically bribing you to go out there and save her money. Now, here's what I wanted to get at. Debbie, I don't know the numbers you've heard, but I know you've heard them. They tell us in sales when you do, especially when you do traditional, outrageously expensive radio, local primetime radio, the drive-by and all that crap. No offense to the people who sell that now. When I said word crap, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. But the point I'm trying to make is they say it's going to take between 7 and 21, what they call touches or exposures. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take out a calculator. Let's just split it in the middle. Instead of 7, instead of 21, we're going to go with 14 in the middle. If it's costing you $650 a touch, and it's going to take 14 of them before you generate that first-time customer, so you can already see you're in the hole, she's eliminated 90% of that because she said, Mark, just for going out and bringing me a potential new customer, I'll hook you up with a better price and some more bling. And let's say I'm a commercial real estate broker. I'm selling these multi-million dollar properties. Debbie Sharp, she says, Mark, I want you to come into the shop with a friend. She says, and I got some special Rolex watches, the presidential watches over here that cost between 10 and 15 grand. She says, I want you to take a look at these. So I look at that $15,000 watch and I said, ooh, that is nice. And she says, I tell you what, because you brought a friend, if your friend joins, you're Mark, I'm already on her list. She says, Mark, if your friend joins my list before you two leave the store, I will let you have that $15,000 Rolex at my actual hard cost, 50%, $7,500. What? And she said, I'm going to do one better. You put up $3,000 down and then you make payments. What? No interest. I'm in. Now, here's the point. When I'm out there showing these multi-million dollar properties in the future, and it's summertime, so I got on a short sleeve shirt and I'm waving around my $15,000 Rolex. Do you think I'm going to get some, hey, man, I really like your watch. Where did you get it? Questions. And Debbie tells me, Mark, the moment you send me three customers, you stop. Whatever the balance is that you owe me, you don't owe me anything. Am I going to hustle a little bit extra so I can get out of paying her the balance? She just netted three customers, 25 people, 75 people times 0.3. Do the math, people. You see where I'm going? This is how you can generate new customers for literally pennies on the dollar. And if I'm married, which I'm not, but got a girlfriend, she says, Mark, have your girl come in and bring a girlfriend. I'll hook them both up with $3,000 worth of necklace and earrings at my cost, provided they join my list and they bring a friend. Do you see how she's building an army for pennies on the dollar? Debbie, I hope they can see that.
Yeah, thank you. And that was a good point. So unfortunately, the statistic is the average person focuses mainly on the first impression of the person, like you mentioned, watches. And the actual statistic that a psychologist will tell you, first impressions are about count for about 5% of what you do, the business that you do with the person, if you're a friend with the person, whatever you're trying to accomplish. The first impression is a very small part of the encounter, but we consider a lot of that to be a very large percentage. And that's because that's the world that we live in. That's the environment that we're in. And then you also talked about networking. So that's very important also. And I think that's another word for what you were saying. And you were talking about upselling. So again, a lot of this is based on your mindset. If you make money, your company makes money. And then your company might give you a bonus. So it goes back to you. I really want to think this is good for a business owner or an executive to really understand this, because they could teach their employees this also. And they could also teach their employees, because they're the ones that are running the company and they want to make money. They want to make money for their company. They want their company to stay in business. So they could teach their employees what to do, how to upsell, whatever the executive's process is going to be. They're going to teach their employees that. What's going to happen after that? The employees are going to be more positive And then they're going to take that attitude, that behavior home. And then they're going to influence their family just from their boss wanting to make more money in a positive way. How to routinely turn expensive one-time customers into an avalanche of long-term repeat customers for a fraction of the traditional upfront cost.
This is one of my favorite, because it's got all kind of ties into everything we're talking about. Let's suppose I run mom and pop, in other words, non-franchise local bakery. I'm competing against the big names. One of them she named early on. Here's how we're going to do that. Let's say I have a plastic Big Gulp. You can buy whatever you want, but if you get it in this Big Gulp, extra large plastic cup, it's going to cost $11.99. Now, again, this is the concept, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get hung up on the numbers or the pricing. Get the concept. Here's the way it's going to work. First time Debbie comes into the store, she buys, she says, I'll have an extra large cappuccino. And I'm supposed to be known, my little shop's supposed to be known, we got it going on with the cappuccino. She's heard, so she wants to come in and check it out for herself. So she buys the cappuccino for $11.99 or X, whatever it is, $7.99, doesn't matter. When she brings the cup back from now on, she only pays $3.99 or $2.99. Now, if my cappuccino is halfway decent or my gourmet coffee or my cocoa or my iced tea or whatever it is, if it's halfway decent, where is she more likely to come back to with that cup as opposed to going paying retail every time at the fancy franchise places? A certain percentage of those people are going to come back to me. Now, I'm not trying to make money off a large cup of whatever. I want the back end. What do you mean, Mark? The pastries, the donuts, the dozen bagels and all that. That's where I'm going to make the money when she comes back. But I use that as a carrot to get her to come back. Do you see how a printing company could use this? A cleaning company could do this. And when I say cleaning, like where you get your clothes clean, man, this is powerful. And you, if you get the concept, you could go out and give away, like, say, all the businesses in my local area that I know personally. I go in and say, Debbie, when I come in here next time, how many people in here are gourmet coffee drinkers? She said, oh, five of us. She says she runs a hair salon. She says, all five of us love coffee. I just give her the cup up front, give all five of them the cup, and now let them pay the lower price when they bring the cup back. Because I'm banking on the fact every day or every other day, they're coming into the store to get their large whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a powerful strategy that if you're not, and if we had time, let's say this was a four-hour workshop Debbie and I were doing, we could easily hook some stuff in the front of that and the back of that and blow this thing out of water. But this should be enough to show you that you're potentially sitting on an untapped gold mine. And if nothing else I said makes sense, Debbie, I sincerely hope what I'm sharing here now makes sense to your audience.
So I get a coffee in the morning at this one store, and I bring my cup because I'm eco-friendly. So I don't want to buy cups and then throw things out when I have nice mugs in my house. So I go to one store and they give me a discount because I bring my cup, and it's a pretty big discount. It's like 50%. One day I was near another store, which is very similar to that one. And I go in with my cup and they go, no, there's no discount. And I was like, oh, really? For bringing my cup? I can give me any discount at all? They're like, no, and I've never heard of that before. So I don't go back there. It's that simple. Because this is basic marketing. This is marketing 101. This is literally like teaching a baby how to walk. This is such a simple concept to understand. And anybody could do this in any business. It doesn't matter what business you are. Just take these businesses in this industry that we're talking about and just insert your own. And then you can do it that way. You can apply it that way. And that will help because not only is it about the behavior and the way that the employees act and the way that they care, it's about that I want to be able to have employees that are efficient and positive and knowledgeable. And that does not happen unless I, the executive or the business owner, is that way. And I'm not only teaching them that, I'm teaching them a way, certain ways, different, whatever the business is teaching them exactly. I'm going to take that and apply it to the rest of my life, to the other companies that I work in. And not only am I going to give them a positive influence, who knows, one day I might get a promotion. One day I might own the company. You never know. So this can go in a lot of different directions. We could talk about all the directions and all these that it could go into for a very, very long time. But these concepts, these five discussions that we have just had, separate concepts, are very, like I said, very, very simple to understand. But the question is, as a business owner and as an executive, are you doing this because you are the ones that are influencing your employees? Your employee is not going to say, oh, I want your company to have increases this month, so therefore I'm going to do this for you. I've never seen that before. So it's up to the company, the business owner, to understand all of these basic concepts. And if they don't understand it, then there's a lot of research, very easy, free things that they can look up. They could teach themselves. They could get a coach, somebody like me, somebody like Mark, and all these will help them. And these things are very important.
Thank you. That was powerful what you shared, because you're really showing the macro. And I think most people, they can't see the forest for the trees. So this is like super condensed, ladies and gentlemen. If we had 4 or 5 hours or 8 hours, we could really, like she said, could hit it out of the park. But I want to share something with you. Every time a major brand, I'm just picking a name out of a hat, Apple, they get ready to introduce a new phone or whatever it is, people are lined up around the block the day before, hours before. If you're a local mom and pop, non-franchise bakery, coffee shop, you show up there early in the morning. Remember, we live in a social media age, and you pass out your big gulp cups. The first one, you could sell a first one half price because remember, you're trying to bank on them coming back. So you say, you show up, hi, I'm Mark's Coffee up the street. What do you want? Cocoa, coffee, whatever you got. You say, now when you bring this cup back, we're just two blocks over there. So now you only pay $1.99. Now, first of all these people sitting out there, everybody probably doesn't drink coffee, but the point is they're going to pull out their phones. They're going to start hashtagging. They're going to let the world know. So you're getting a first-time customer for almost nothing. You give them the cup, tell them to come back, and they're going to save a discount from now on. And number two, when they take that cup to their tribe, job, their own business, whatever, somebody's going to say, Debbie, what's the deal with that cup? She's going to tell the story for you. You don't need all these fancy ads. But here's what I wanted to share with you, ladies and gentlemen. I have a question I call the magic question. Debbie, is it okay if I periodically refer you new business and customers?
Sure.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Did she hesitate? Did she say, well, let me think about that more? No. Now, when you ask that question, ladies and gentlemen, you don't ask this question of complete strangers. It's people you already have an established relationship with, like your vendors and your suppliers. So you say, and by the same token, Debbie, as long as it doesn't take away from anything you're currently doing or will be doing in not so distant future, are you okay with periodically returning the favor?
Sure, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Now, you heard her words, but I'm going to translate this really quick. What she is saying is, Mark, not only is it okay, but I'm going to give you access to my current network and my future network, which is going to be X times better and more productive. You get access to that, too. That's called the magic question. Is it okay if I periodically refer you new business? If they say, what you have in mind, you say, you know, I haven't worked out all the details yet, but I just wanted to know if you were open. I'll get back to you. If you need help, there's at least two people you know to reach out to. But the point is, that magic question swings the door of opportunity hinge wide open. Take advantage. It's not about recessions and all this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. No, don't listen to that nonsense. You and I got more opportunity out here than we're ever going to be able to take advantage of. That's a fact.
That was good, too. Thank you. So I always say outside forces don't matter. It's all about the mindset, and it's all about your thinking and what you really want to accomplish in life. And I truly believe that I hold myself back because there's no limit that I can do. And I feel this pretty much for everybody.
Absolutely.
So I put my limits on me. And that's the way that I succeed or I don't succeed.
Right.
The business owners of huge businesses, the biggest businesses on this earth, they don't put limits on themselves. They know that they can do anything they want. The sky is the limit. And that's how they got to where they are. But that just depends on whether I can see that, can think that, what my mindset is, and what I am willing to learn, how much I'm willing to educate myself. And this is the things that I do, some of these examples. And then Mark just explained to you his side of the coin. So if you take both sides and put them together, it's like super duper win-win. And this is one of the reasons why I do these types of things. And we also mentioned the networking, and this helps marketing too, but that's what me and Mark are doing also, right? Is that we're networking because he's going to get on his social media to watch my podcast and vice versa. And that's what we're looking for. The statistic on the amount of people that watch podcasts is over the top. It's like 5 billion. It's unbelievable. It's completely over the top. Think about if you want to take these things that we talked about as a business owner, as an executive, and put them together and truly do something to help your company. And it will always be a win-win. There wouldn't be any example where there wouldn't be, unless the company like goes out of business, like somebody dies or the place burns down, or there's not a lot of things that I could think of that would be a lose-lose. This was a good conversation. So do you have anything in closing that you would like to say?
We always have your doubting Thomases. Ladies and gentlemen, if any of you out there convinced any of this won't work, you put up the cost and let me keep 100% of the profit. That's my open challenge to you. I've yet to have any takers for some reason.
That's what I was just going to say. Thank you very much for your time. Be well.
You too. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.